You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Friday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:35pm with Luke Elder, Andy Holding and Kevin O'Malley in the studio. Good racing in both codes this Friday as well, with action on the flat at Sandown and York, accompanied by National Hunt Racing from Newton Abbot in the afternoon. It's flat racing at Goodwood and Chepstow in the evening and jumping from Aintree. So plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Rory Delaghi. How are you, Rory?
I am very well indeed, thank you.
Good, good man. The countdown is on to Royal Ascot, Rory. We're not too far away, obviously starting on Tuesday. Are you excited for the Royal meeting?
Not to the same degree as I would be for the likes of Cheltenham. But then again, one of the issues we have with Royal Ascot is there are limited entries for the meeting until the weekend. So we know what the entries are for the Group 1 races at this stage. But we don't have an idea of where the cutoff's going to be in the big handicaps.
Yeah.
And in some of the other events, the 3-year-old handicaps, for example, we don't have entries at all. So we're guessing who might be in there. And that makes it more difficult to get excited about what's coming up whenever you don't really have a list of runners. Yeah. Once you do, then it's a lot more interesting. And reading between the lines, there are certainly a few that I'm looking forward to, including a couple who aren't quoted in the betting for races like the Britannia, who I think would be very interesting. I think that's, you've got a real chance of getting standout prices, because essentially everyone's working from the same crib sheet, likely runners in races where you don't actually have a list of entries. And if you fancy one that you think is going to be aimed at a race that it hasn't really been mentioned for, then chances are you can find someone who will offer you 25-1 or upwards about that, and then whenever the entries appear, it will have more chance on paper. So keep a close eye on when the deadlines are for those 5 days, and see if you can nick a bit of value then.
Yeah, I suppose it's a little bit different this year as well with regards to the weather. You usually expect pretty quick going, don't you, at Royal Ascot? But there's one or two showers about and a bit of rain, and still talk of the that might affect the going. We might have a little bit of softer than good in some scenarios.
Yeah, it's possible. Certainly, looking at the weather forecast that's been published today, there are showers every day. There's never a day when we're going to get like an inch of rain. And if you thought that we weren't going to get any rain between now and Royal Ascot, and there's going to be sunshine, you know that the track will be putting on more than an inch of water to try to maintain the grind.
Yeah.
So from what I've read, there's going to be less than an inch, considerably less than an inch, in the next week, according to those forecasts. But it's a difficult time of year and a difficult sort of situation at the moment to work out what's going to happen, because I find that when the weather is very summery like this, but there is the threat of thunder showers, it's very difficult to assess how much there's going to be. Whereas I think sometimes in the winter, when you know you've got a bit of low pressure coming over, you can be a little bit more certain about rainfall. But it's up in the air, really. So I wouldn't guarantee there's going to be soft ground. But in fairness, if it's sort of good to soft, that changes things as well. There's, you know, we've been used to firm ground for Royal Ascot, and that tends to suit those coming across from the States, for example, or Australia, or those, you know, Hong Kong, Japan, that kind of thing. They all tend to be very fast ground performers, and
yeah.
Because we're used to watering quite a lot in this country, we don't have that many dyed-in-the-wool fast ground performers. A lot of the local challengers tend to want good to soft ground. So if there's enough rain to make sure that there's just a bit of ease, that will help the home challenge as a rule. But plenty of interesting potential bets in there at the moment, and more to appear in the next few days, I think.
So let's put some horses in the mix then, Rory. If I were to ask you for a couple of anti-post picks or something along those lines, what would you go with?
The one that I really like at the moment, who's overpriced, is Don Juan Triumphant in the Commonwealth Cup. He was beaten by the favourite for that on his reappearance at Haydock. Quiet Reflection was very impressive in the end.
Yeah.
But Dolphin Triumphant ran a tremendous race, given that he would have needed the run. He was he did very well last autumn. But he was reported to have wintered badly, which is very unusual. Most trainers will say, oh, he's done really well over the winter, yada, yada. But he had a bad time and took a while just to... He lost weight, took a while to come to himself. And although all the news about him was positive in the weeks leading up to his reappearance, if you have that kind of preparation, you're going to be more in need of the run than you would be normally. I thought he'd finish fourth, fifth, sixth in that race, and I still would have been keen on his prospects going through the season. He ran tremendously well to finish second, finishing strongest of all on the wrong side of the track. The prospect of softish ground, again, that's rather up in the air, is a big positive for him, because his best form was in France on soft ground last back end. Six furlongs with digging the ground suits him really well. And he's massively overpriced. He's 16s with Hills.
Yeah.
And he should be less than half that price. So although Quiet Reflection is clearly in there, again, he's got a prospect of turning the tables.
All right, Don Juan Triumph, and then 16-1 in the betting for the Commonwealth Cup. Just a few other potential headline grabbers as well at Royal Ascot. I've seen that there's been good reports about Kunko, who's going to run in the Chesham, first son of Frankel. Obviously very impressive on his debut at Newbury. That would be a headline grabber, wouldn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I'm a little bit wary of how much we're still relying on Frankel to make headlines for the sport.
Yeah.
But he's had four foals that have raced so far, and three of them have won, including a very impressive winner yesterday.
Yeah.
So he's clearly doing extremely well, although you wonder how much there's a degree of his early runners being handpicked to showcase him. But yeah, Kunko was pretty impressive in the end. What's impressed me most about Frankel's runners to date is how well they've finished the races off.
Yeah.
And Kunko, you know, looked to be sort of treading water with a furlong and a half to go in his debut, and picked up tremendously well to win. The Chesham will suit him down to the ground, the seventh furlong, and it's the first proper seven furlong race of the season for 2-year-olds.
Mm.
And it's only open to horses who are sired by sires who've won over a particular distance. That's always been the issue with the Chesham. Normally, those who run in it are very light in experience. The fact that he was able to win over a shorter trip so early in his career suggests that he's going to do really well there.
Hmm. Anything else on your mind then before we move on to Fridays? Actually?
Not really, no.
All right, well, good stuff. We've got some good racing to look forward to this Friday, and we'll get Rory's thoughts in four races on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
All right, then we start our look ahead to Friday with the 3:30 at Sandown. This one is a Class 3 handicap. It's over a mile and a quarter. It's for 4-year-olds and older. And we've got 12 of them in the lineup here, Rory. So quite a competitive race to start with here.
It is, but there are two horses who jump off the page, and they're renewing rivalry. The likely favourite for this, and one I think he's probably going to be a warm favourite, is Master of Irony. He got back on track when winning over this trip at Windsor last time out with a visor on. Beating Crockenbush, and he meets Crockenbush again. Crockenbush made the running that day, stole a lead, looked like he was well ridden and was going to hold on, but Master of Irony has come from the right at the back of the field to nab him late on. You could argue that he's value for more, given how that race was run. It wasn't a tremendously strongly run race, although Crockenbush can go hard from the front, but he managed to steady it up, and he was running on well at the finish, the runner up. But Master of Irony came over the top of him and won by 3 1/4 lengths. I suspect that Master of Irony would be very short. I think what happens in these situations is that people don't really fancy the runner up ever to turn the tables. And I think Crockenbush will be a decent price as a result. But the thing about Crockenbush is he's well suited by making the running at a track like Sandown. Oddly enough, the stiffer track suits him. He's shown his best form on tracks with a stiff finish. He's run very well at Sandown on both occasions he's run there. He's, again, guaranteed the lead. And that's crucial here. So with a change of jockey, Jim Crowley riding him tomorrow, He's not that likely to uphold the form, strictly speaking. But he's £6 better off for a 3 1/4 length beating, and it will come down to tactics. And if Jim Crowley can again get a biggish lead early on, then steady it at the right time and press on, Then even if Master of Irony runs up to the same form at Windsor, there is the possibility of turning the tables. But there's also the possibility of getting a very good each-way price about Croquembouche, who I think is guaranteed to be there at the finish.
So Croquembouche, the each-way player then, Ferrari in the 3.30. Onto the 4.50 at York next. This one is a Class 3 handicap. It's over a mile and three quarters for four-year-olds and older. 12 of them in the lineup here, Rory. And we'll start with Sign of a Victory, if we may. A beaten favourite at Ascot last time. Has been a winner on the all-weather at Wolverhampton in the past as well. Obviously better known for his jumps exploits.
Yeah, he's had very little racing on the flat Sign of a Victory. Yeah. But the key to him is he must have genuinely quick grind, which limits his campaign over hurdles. I thought he was a good bet at Ascot, I have to say. In the end, the race didn't quite pan out for him, but he was he ran well to be fourth behind King Bullet. King Bullet then won at Haydock yesterday. And that form looks very solid. That looks a very, very good piece of form. And Sign of Victory, if he can get things run more to suit him, will probably be favourite for this and should have every chance. Interestingly, his very best form over hurdles came at Ascot. And I wonder whether the Ascot track might be more suited to him than York. While there's also the prospect of showers tomorrow morning. That would be a worry. If there was a bit of rain tomorrow morning, that would be a slight concern for Sign of a Victory. I respect his chances, but I'm going to take a chance on one at what should be a bigger price, a horse who's also unexposed, and that is Simon West Filman. Kieran Fallon rides. This is a horse who did well for Mick Halford last season and was bought to go hurdling. That didn't work out at all. He had one run over hurdles, was a hot favourite for a novice at Musselburgh, and ran appallingly. But he's since, I assume he's had a breathing operation. He stopped very quickly as if he had a problem. He came out the next time wearing a tongue tie at Wolverhampton. That was in December. He then had a few months off and he's run well to finish on the heels of the leaders at Doncaster in his last two starts. First one was over 2 miles, which he gave the impression he didn't quite stay. His win in a handicap for Mick Halford came with cheek pieces on over a mile and five at Navan. And he did a little bit better at Doncaster last time out, dropped to this trip, a mile and six, or extended mile and six, on heavy grind. Again, he didn't go with the cheek pieces on, which he's worn for his victory. They're back on again for tomorrow's race. And I think the return to quicker ground, the cheek pieces suggest a change of tactics as well. He was held up last time on heavy ground. When he won his race at Navan off 85, he made all the running. Now, he's only had two turf runs since that, one of which was probably needed, one of which probably came on the wrong ground, and yet he's running off a mark of 79 now, £6 lower than his winning mark in Ireland. Now, I think his mark was adjusted downwards at the end of the season, which I believe happens in Ireland, probably should happen in the UK as well, to be perfectly honest. You need to handicap the horse population to stop the marks creeping up constantly. But in saying that, 79 looks a very fair mark for a horse who's low mileage. It looks to have his ideal conditions. He's also got a strong prospect of an easy lead if he wants to do that. There's only one other front runner in the race. And if Kieran Fallon wants to go forward, then he could dominate. He's drawn wide, which is actually a positive at staying trips at York, so that's not really an issue. And because he's trained by Simon West, who doesn't have much of a reputation, I think he'll go off at a bigger price than he should do. And the man in the saddle, Kieran Fallon, very much out to prove himself. And he's trying to reinvent himself this year and doing quite a good job of it as well.
Mm. Vilman then the selection in the 4.50 at York. A bit of jumping in the evening. We're going to Aintree for the 7.05. Class 3 handicap chase to start us off here. And this is over it's almost 3 miles and one furlong, really. 12 of them in the lineup, Rory, and I suppose we should start with Mercer's Court, given that he arrives here on the back of three successive victories.
He does indeed. He's a much improved horse for jumping fences, and I think he's capable of landing the four-timer against horses who've got various things against them. I'm not sure he was particularly well-suited by Fakenham last time out, but it was interesting that he was ridden in contrasting fashion to how he used to be ridden over hurdles. Frequently a hold-up horse as a hurdler, made the running, jumped well at Fakenham, was joined between the last two fences but was fighting back and was probably getting the better of Bonchic when he was left clear at the last. Bonchic made a bad mistake. The runner-up has gone on to win and post a better effort over hurdles since. And I just think that Mercer's Court is a horse who's still improving as a chaser. Only at £4 for that, because it's hard form to rate, really. It was effectively a two-horse race. And given the handicapper had very little to go on other than, you know, the pair of them were improving at the time, he's taken a reasonably low view and raised Mercer's quote £4. But Bond Sheik's subsequent win, albeit over hurdles, suggests the form might have been better than rated at the time. So given he really enjoys his new job, his jumping has become an asset. He did make early mistakes when he went over fences in the first place, but his jumping looks an asset these days. I think entry will suit him down to the ground. And if he wants to make the running, that's absolutely fine as well. He's got Belmount arguably to beat. Nigel Twiston Davis, the son of Westerner, is also young and largely on the up and up. He was beaten 19 lengths at Yatoxeter last time out, but the winner there, Valadom, is a useful horse on his day. My only issue with Belmount is his strike rate is pretty poor. He does have a verdict over Call Me Vic, who also runs again. And that one should run okay, but again, the handicapper might just be in charge with him. And Henlon Harry, who would be the other interesting one, given how well Peter Bowen does at this track in the summer. He's hard to fancy, given he ran an absolute stinker on his return from a break at Uttoxeter when attracting some support. So he needs to show that he's back in form, and I think the safest option in the race is Mercer's Court.
Mercer's Court then to complete the four-timer in the 7.05 at Aintree, and we finish off in the 8.10 at Aintree, which is a Class 3 handicap chase. It's over just short of 2 miles, 10 of them in the lineup here. Rory, we'll start with Sir Note, if we may, who's won four of his last five outings and was a very easy winner at Market Raisin last time. Up in grade here, but can he continue his progress?
Well, there's two ways of looking at this race. There is the approach of analysing the shape of the race first, and then making a decision as to what will be required to win it, in which case you would be very worried about Sir Note's chances. He's made all the running to win his last three starts. Over, I say all the running. He was joined at Market Racing two starts ago and probably passed at the third last when his main rival fell. But he's attempted to make all the running and pulled out more when winning at Market Raisin last time. It was really impressive. But he does have a number of other front runners in this lineup. Walden Prince wants to make the running. Hepijo wants to make the running. Ballybogey has led in the past. Enjoy Responsibly tends to race prominently. Owen Neveu, his last win came when making all the running. So there could be a lot of pressure on him for the lead. And from that point of view, you think, oh, he looks beatable here. He's up in grade. The handicappers hit him really hard. This is a horse who won a... less than a year ago was winning a handicap hurdle off a mark of 86, and here he is racing in not 135 handicap over fences, which makes it look like he's got plenty on his plate. But then you go back and watch his last race and he's an absolute joy to watch. I think he gets the lead here. I think the key to this race, when you've got several potential front runners, you go, do they go head to head and cut each other's throats, or does one of them win the battle? And for me, one of them wins the battle, and it's Sir Note. He absolutely loves what he's doing. In his early days, when trained by Nick Libman in the same colours, he was a hold-up horse, and he made very little impact under hold-up rides with Paul Maloney in the plate. He's just looked a completely different horse when allowed his head. He's won all three starts when Jack Quinlan's been on board, made all the running each time. And what he also does, he just loves fences. You can see, I mean, if you go back to the days of Desert Orchid, there is no better sight in racing than a grey jumping fences who really attacks them. And that's what Sir Note does. He hasn't been absolutely perfect at his fences so far, but he's not been afraid of them, and he really takes them on. And with experience, he's going to get better in that regard. His three wins have come right-handed over fences so far, but that's just circumstance. As I said, he bolted up at Uttoxeter over hurdles, albeit off a lower mark. But, you know, he's just been gradually progressing all the time. And I think he's capable of defying a 12-pound rise. He absolutely destroyed his field. He had them well spread out behind him. And again, I think he's the one of the front runners who wins the early battle. I think that will then ruin the chances of those who want to dominate. And then you're looking for something that might want to come off the pace. I think Heron's Heir will be favourite for this. Because he's a hold-up horse who travels strongly. He was going very, very well when falling at Fakenham last time out. But it was a very heavy fall, and I wonder how well he will come out of that. While the yard's gone a little bit quiet, Dan Skelton. Very, very good trainer, Dan. Got a huge amount of time for him. But, you know, the strike rate's only 1 from 13 now in the last fortnight, and not great over the last 4 weeks. And, you know, even with the better yards, they will go through periods of quiet form. So I think he'll be favourite, but I'm particularly keen on supporting Sir Note. And I just hope that he's opposed in the market and you get a good price about him.
So now then, to continue his good form in the 8-10 at Aintree. As usual then, Rory, let's just have a little bit of a summary before you go, if you'll spin us through your four selections for Friday.
Yeah, 3:30 at Sandown, Crock and Bush each way. The 4:45 at York, or 4:50 at York, I think it is, Vilman. In the 7:05 at Aintree, Mercer's Court. And in the 8:10 at Aintree, Sir Note to make all the running.
Superb. Good work, Rory. Thank you very much. Good luck and enjoy on Friday.
Thank you very much indeed.
There you go. The thoughts of Rory Delaghi on Friday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:35pm. Luke Elder, Andy Holding and Kevin O'Malley will be in the studio. It's Sandown, York and Newton Abbott on Friday afternoon, and Goodwood Aintree and Chepstow in the evening. Plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Friday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.